Well, answering God's call for your life. That's the theme of the messages this month in Missions Month. Last week we saw that God has a special call on every Christian's life, a call to service. He calls to be saved. He calls us to be sanctified, to live a Christian life. But then he also calls each and every one of us. He has a call on our life to serve him. Now, not everyone is called to the same ministry. But everyone is called to some ministry. Oh, thanks. Thanks for one amen. Amen. Everyone is called to some ministry. And not everyone is called to full-time vocational ministry. But everyone is called to serve the Lord as a, listen, full-time Christian. Everyone, that if you're saved, you're called to serve the Lord as a full-time Christian. Now, having said that, let me say this. There are people that God calls into full-time Christian ministry as a vocation. Pastors. And we need pastors today. We need new pastors that'll preach God's word. Amen. And will stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Not share their opinions, not share little stories, but to be able to preach God's word. We need pastors. We need missionaries. Talked about last week, there's missionaries coming home from the field. We have three or four of them that we support that have been on the mission field for 40 years. They're coming home. We need people that believe in the Lord and trust in the Lord and that will replenish and will go into the foreign mission field. We need people to work in Word of Life ministry. We need people to work in Christian radio. We heard that last week. We need people that will give their life in service of the Lord. And so we're praying this month. And I hope you will pray with me that God is going to issue forth some calls here in our church. Some people, you remember we talked about last week, we talked about Isaiah. And Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And he heard the Lord. He heard the Trinity speaking. And the Trinity was speaking, and the Trinity talked with one another, and they said, "Who shall we send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me, Lord." I'm praying that God's going to speak this month. And some of you, you're going to hear the call of God, a new call, fresh call in your life. And my prayer is that we're not just going to hear the Trinity speaking. We're going to respond and say, "Lord, if you can use me. If you can use me, Lord, I'm available. Send me." Then some of you, you've already received your call. You're serving the Lord and you know where you're supposed to be and you're serving the Lord. But maybe some of you are discouraged. I can't tell you, there's been a number of times over the last 37 years that I've been in full-time ministry that I started to doubt. I was like, "Lord, I saw that big GP up in the clouds and I thought it meant go preach. Did it mean go plow?" And I started to doubt, but then God took me back to the time he called me. It was a very specific time in my life where he spoke to my heart. This month, sometime, I hope to be able to share how he did that in my life. And he encouraged me. And maybe you're serving the Lord. Maybe you're a little bit discouraged. And I'm praying, God, refresh some people today. Refresh some people this month in their call. Give them encouragement. Yes, yes, I want to use you. Yes, I'm using you. And then some others that maybe you're in serving the Lord, maybe God wants to give you a new call. You know, Maybe he wants to give you a fresh, new ministry. And I'm praying that God will touch some hearts like that. That's exciting, isn't it? That God could speak to your heart and say, I have something for you to do. And this is for you. This I want to use you in this ministry. And so I hope you'll pray with me this month that God, that we might hear, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And that your heart will be right to say, Lord, here I am. Send me, God. That's what we're praying. That's what we're praying. We're looking at different people in the Bible and God's call on their lives. They're called to ministry. Again, last week we looked at Isaiah. This morning we're going to look at the call of one who is considered by many to be the most powerful leader in the Old Testament. We're going to look today at Moses. So if you take your Bibles and open them up to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus 3, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to pray. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Lord, today, as we look at these words from your word, the Bible, Father, we pray that you would give us ears that would hear, hearts that would believe, and then lives that will obey your word. Father, you know what I'm praying. I'm praying that you would speak to each and every one of us. Words of a call, words of encouragement, words of fresh vision, so that, Lord, we might hear your voice and answer, here am I, Lord, send me. God, would you speak to us here today as we look at these words through your Holy Spirit? And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. First of all, the call of God, the call of God. And as I read these verses, just these first 10 verses, I just made six observations about God's call here as we look at how he called Moses. And I'm going to share those six observations. And the first one is this: God's call came while he was working. While he was working. Verse 1, now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And I think it's an interesting fact, and we're going to be going through a number of different situations where God called people to minister. But in almost every one of those situations, people were busy. God called people that were working, that were busy. In the Bible, Gideon received a call from God. He was beating out wheat down in a wine press. David received a call from God. He was shepherding sheep. Elisha was out plowing in the field when he received God's call. Amos was farming and shepherding. The disciples, and Lord willing, we'll look at the disciples next week and God's call to the disciples. Several of them were out fishing. Tank, where are you? They were out fishing. I don't know where he is, but I know that excites him. There he is back there fishing. And one was sitting in a tax office doing tax work. But you know, when God calls people, they're out. Usually they're out working. God calls busy people. God doesn't want people to be sitting around doing nothing. And I'm waiting for you to call, Lord. How come I'm not hearing a call for you? You know, God wants us to be busy. Not in our everyday work, you know. I'll tell you what, in our everyday work, he wants us to be busy. He wants us to be working. I think he wants us to be busy in his work too. People have told me sometimes, Pastor, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know where I'm supposed to serve in the church. Get busy. Start serving. And then God, I think it was Henrietta Mears, who was the one who discipled actually Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ. I think it was she that said, you know, some people say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, get busy, because it's hard to steer a parked car. You get the car moving and you can steer it. You know, God calls busy people. You gotta be willing to be working. And God can call. Moses woke up that day, it seemed like a normal day. And he went to work. And it was that day that the course of his life was changed. You know what? You woke up today. Normal day. Normal day. Normal Sunday. Wouldn't it be something if today God spoke to you and changed the course of your life? Could it happen? It could. It could. But it happened while he was working. A second observation. God's call comes in different places. Different places. Again, in verse 1. I like the King James Version in this, by the way, because it says, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. The backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. We studied Isaiah last week. Most scholars or most commentaries that I read said that probably they think that Isaiah may have been in the temple when he saw his vision. He was in the temple. Next week, we're going to take a look at the disciples. They were on the seashore when the call of God came. But I thought it was really interesting that, and Paul's call. Where did Paul's call, Apostle Paul, where did his call come? Yeah, Damascus Road and on the street called Straight in Damascus. Different places. Moses is here. He's on the backside of the desert. You wouldn't expect too much to happen on the backside of the desert. In fact, he was at Horeb, and the word Horeb means a place of desolation, a dry place, a desert place, a hostile environment, a place of heat, thirst, scorpions, and something that I hate, snakes. And yet it was there on the backside of a desert that the call of God came. I thought about that, you know? Maybe you're in a dry place. Maybe you're in a hard place. Maybe you're on the backside of the desert. Listen, because God may be just getting you right there to give you a call, to call you. You know, God's call comes in different places. It can come in church. It can. But it can come at your work. It can come at school. It can come while you're hiking a trail. Not on Sunday morning, but other times of the week when you're hiking a trail. God's call comes in different places. So we've got to be listening. Third observation. God's call comes at different ages. Different ages. According to Acts chapter 7. Do you know how old Moses was when he got this call? Anybody know? 80 years old. 80 years old. And I thought about people in the Bible, and there's so many we could study this month. But I thought of Samuel. Remember the boy Samuel? Some of you children are here. Samuel was a boy. He was a little boy. And one night, God called him. Said, Samuel, Samuel. And you remember he thought it was Eli, and he had kind of got confused. But then finally he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And God called a boy into his service. And then Jeremiah, do you remember Jeremiah when he got his call? You can read in Jeremiah chapter 1, he got this call from the Lord, and the Lord said, I want to use you, Jeremiah. And he said, Lord, I don't know if you can use me because I am just a youth. I think maybe a teenager. Teenagers, God can call you. God can call, he can call people whatever the age. And here's Moses, he's 80 years old. Some of you out there, God can't call me, I'm too old. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell on somebody here, but because I had a man come to me in this church who's over 80 years old, came to me 2 years ago and said, Pastor, I've been in this church for over a year, and I'm not doing anything. And I want to get busy for the Lord. I'll tell you, I want the Lord to take me home. I want to go while I'm in my saddle.
Yes.
Serving the Lord. Bill Basie, where are you? And he's now the head of our missions in our church. I'm too old. Oh, maybe God's going to call some of us, some of you seniors, to something exciting, something new. I tell you, you're never too old to serve God. Amen. You're never too old. I'll tell you, some of his greatest servants are senior saints. And so these calls come different ages. Children, keep your ears, get your ears on. Get your ears on. Listen. Youth, teenagers, 20-something, millennials. Wake up, millennials. He may call you. He is calling you. He can even call baby boomers and all those, all the way Gen X, all the, he calls at different ages. He calls. Fourth observation, God's call comes with a fresh encounter with God. A fresh encounter with God. Do you remember last week? I'll tell you, Isaiah had a fresh encounter with God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw him. I heard him. Had a fresh encounter. In these verses, Moses comes face to face with the living God. In fact, these verses pile up truths about who God is. Verse 2 says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a blazing fire. The bush was burning with fire, yet the bush wasn't consumed. This angel, who's this angel? The Lord. This is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it was who appeared to him in this burning bush. God got his attention. God his attention. And it says, when the Lord saw that he got his attention, that word Lord is Yahweh. This is God's personal name. And when Yahweh got his attention, he said, Moses, Moses. That's his personal name. This was a personal encounter with God. Personal. He said, you know, Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. See the Trinity here? Holy, holy, holy. Said Moses, don't you come near. Don't you come near. Take your shoes off. The ground on which you stand is holy ground. That ground was holy because the holy, the thrice holy God was there. And wherever God shows up, it's holy ground. You know what, folks? Take your shoes off. God is here. God is here. And Moses encountered God. I mean, this was a fresh encounter with God. That's what I pray for myself. That's what I pray for you. God, give us a fresh encounter. Let us see you, Lord, as you really are. And Moses did what you and I would do. If God would manifest himself here, I'll tell you what, every one of us would be down on our faces. We would hide our faces from the glory of God. When God calls many times, you experience a fresh encounter. I mean, he comes. Where's Rich Moon? Rich?
Downstairs
now with the kids. But he came to Rich and he brought a scripture verse back. There was an encounter with God. And someone might say, you know, but Pastor, I've never had a vision. Heaven never opened up to me. I never had a vision like that. Anybody here ever seen a burning bush that burned? That was not consumed. No, I haven't had that. How do you have a fresh encounter with God? Meet God in His Word. I tell you, as you read God's Word, and you get on your knees and you say, God, hide me in the cleft of the rock and pass by, God. I want to know you, God. You get in this word and you pray like that, I'll tell you what, you will have an encounter with God. That's how we have an encounter with God today. It's through the Word, primarily, through the Word of God. And two, you can have actually an encounter with God through preaching. You can. You really can. I think of the man over in England back in the day. There were two famous churches. One was Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And there was another famous church with a famous pastor, a famous preacher. They were both excellent orators. They were both dynamic speakers. And so a man went to this other man's church and he heard him speak and he said, "Oh man, I was just enamored with this, the oratory." And then he went to Mr. Spurgeon's church and he heard Spurgeon speak. And somebody went up to him and said, "You went to both of these famous churches. What was the difference?" He said, "I'll tell you the difference. I went to this church and I'll tell you that man can speak and he has eloquence and he can speak. And I went out of that church saying, what a preacher. But when I went to Mr. Spurgeon's church and I walked out, I said, what a God. What a God." I'll tell you, sometimes God can use preaching to give a fresh encounter with himself. Oh, that he may do that. The call many times begins with a fresh encounter with the living God. And then I noticed and observed, number five, that God's call, listen to this, comes out of God's heart. Right out of God's heart. Look at verses 7 through 9 in your Bible. Because in these verses, he reveals his heart concerning people in bondage. He says, I've surely seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry. I'm aware of their sufferings. So I will come down to deliver them, to bring them up to a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, God saw the need. And God felt the need. He was concerned. You know, he was touched by suffering and bondage. And this call that he was going to issue came right out of God's heart. He's caring, compassionate, faithful, personal, merciful, gracious in his heart. And when God calls to missions, calls to ministry, it's born right straight out of the heart of God. It comes out of God's heart. And I can't help but thinking that one day, you know, God looked down and again he saw mankind and he saw that we were helpless and hopeless and headed toward a Christless eternity. And there was a mission born out of God's heart. And he sent his son. And I just, when I read this, I thought, you know what? The cross is born out of the heart of God. God's love for us, his concern, his care, his grace, his mercy, his heart was broken for people that were lost. So he sent his son on a rescue mission. He sent his son to the cross. And that mission was born out of the heart of God. God's mission and call today comes out of his heart. You know what, folks? God cares for hurting people. God cares for people that are broken, people that are in bondage, people that are in drugs today. that their lives are being wrecked. He cares about people that are lost, that are blinded, that are headed toward a Christless eternity. He wants to bring them, listen, he wants to bring them out of that to a place of freedom. And if we could hear, if you could hear the heartbeat of God today, we might hear his voice calling, "Who shall we send? Who will go for us? I've got a work of redemption. I've got a rescue mission. And I need people. I need people." And if we're to listen, we might hear something like this: "Less, less. Rich, rich. Paul, Paul. Linda, Linda. Alva, Alva." We might hear our name being called, because missions are born right out of the heart of God. We're gonna see this later on in this series, Lord willing. We're gonna see this brought out. And the sixth observation here is God's call comes to people like you and me. People like you and me. Verse 10. Basically, up until this point, you know what Moses is doing? He's right with God. He's right in step with this. God says, you know, I'm going to deliver this people. I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to redeem them and rescue them and bring them out so that I can bring them in to this place of a land of milk and honey. I'm going to do that. And Moses is there, man, boy, God, it's about time. I've been waiting for over 40 years for you to do this. It's great. I'm so excited that you're going to do this. And then God says, therefore, I'm sending you. I'm going to have you go. And I'm going to use you to bring out the people. See, he issues this call. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people out of Egypt. You know what that tells me? God uses people. God uses people. Now you think about this. God could have gone down there himself and just said, okay, all you Egyptians, you're dead. And said, okay, people, let's go. He could have done it himself, couldn't he? Amen. I mean, he could have. He could have sent an angel or a couple angels down there and said, okay, all you Egyptians, you're dead. All of you are dead. He did that once with the Assyrians, 185,000. You know, God could have done that. But you know what? God hasn't chosen to do his work independently or do it through angels, this work of redemption. He has chosen to use people like you and me that will listen to God. Ordinary people. God uses people just like you and me that will listen and obey his command. Wow. God calls people. God uses people to accomplish his divine deliverances. You know, that's something, isn't it? What a privilege. We're called to serve the Lord God of the universe. What a privilege. And again, he could do it much better himself. I don't know, angels might be able to do it better, probably could. But he's chosen us. Wow. Well, let's go on. The response to the call of God. Now, we're not going to read this, but the response, verses 3:11 through 4:13. First of all, you know what Moses does? He asks questions. He says in verse 11, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I to go to, listen to this, the most powerful man in the world and confront him and lead this people out of Egypt? Who am I?" Now listen, 40 years before this time, Moses wouldn't ask that question. In fact, Moses thought maybe he could do it. He got, if you read Acts chapter 7, he got some kind of an understanding that God was going to use him to deliver the people of God out of Egypt. I mean, let's face it, he was in the who's who. He was a power. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. He had the best education that you could have. He was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He went to Thutmose U. No. He went to the best schools. He was pretty good. He was powerful, the Bible says, in word and in deed. People knew about Moses. He was in the who's who. And not only that, but he was a powerful general. According to Josephus, the historian, Moses was a general in an Egyptian army. And he was the one who led the troops against Ethiopia and took Ethiopia. He was a great man. And at that time, 40 years before, he thought, you know what? I can do this if I have to kill every Egyptian one at a time. He'd have never said, "Who am I? I can do it." And then you know what God did? God sent him to Desert University. Desert U. I don't know if you've been there. But Desert U, it's not a 4-year course. It's a 40-year course. And he had to take some courses. And I'm not sure all the courses he took, but I know some of the courses he took. He had to take Humility 101. Had to take that. Humility 101. He had to take Sheepology. Because he was going to be leading God's a whole bunch of sheep. And I'll tell you what, that's a tough one. Sheepology 201, he took that one. He had to take Servanthood 301. And learn to become a servant. You see, he had servants in Egypt, but now he had to become a servant. And he had to take another course I know he took was Desert Survival. Because he was going to be out in the desert for 40 years. God took him to Desert U. To Desert U. To get him to this point. Who am I? Who am I? That was one question he asked. Then he said this. Another question he said. He said, "What if they ask me theological questions I can't answer? What if they ask me, if I go to them and tell them I met with the God of our fathers, what if they say, 'What's his name? What's his name?' What if I can't answer their questions?" So that was a second question he asked. And then a third one that he asked, over in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "What if I go and tell them, 'You sent me,' and they don't believe me?" Now, that is a question of unbelief. Because if you look at chapter 3, verse 18, God said, "You're going to go, and they'll believe you, and the elders will go with you when you confront Pharaoh." So that is a question of unbelief. What if they don't believe me, Lord? God already said they will believe you. The elders will believe you. Pharaoh won't believe you, but the elders will believe you. Let me say this. When God calls you, it's not bad to ask questions. That's okay. That's okay. If you look at Jeremiah, he asked questions. It's okay. But don't question God. Don't question the call. Don't question. If he says something, believe what he says. Because God always speaks truth. So first of all, he questions. Then, you know what he does? He begins to make excuses. Look over, take your Bible, look over in chapter 4 and verse 10. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. And you know what the one excuse is? I am not equipped to do this. I'm not gifted, Lord. See what he says there? Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I've never kissed the Blarney Stone." You know, that's supposed to give you the gift of eloquence, the gift of gab. By the way, your pastor has kissed the Blarney Stone. Not that I'm eloquent, but I have the gift of gab, but that's okay. He said, "I don't. I'm not gifted. I'm not equipped." Then he makes another excuse down in verse 13 of chapter 4. He says, "And someone else could do this better." You see it there? Moses said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." What he's saying is, "Lord, someone else could do this better. Send someone, anyone, not me. Lord, here am I. Send Aaron." He can do it better, Lord. So listen, when God's call comes, it's okay to question. Say, "Lord, I need some details here. I'd love to have some details." Don't question him or don't question the call, but you can ask questions. You know, God's not afraid of us asking him questions. Don't ever be afraid to ask God questions. Now, again, from the right kind of heart, God understands when we ask questions. But excuses. You know what an excuse is? It's a reason stuffed with a lie. He makes excuses. So, lastly, the response of God to his response. His questions. "Who am I? Who am I?" Moses said. "I can't do it." You know what God's response is? "Oh, right. Now you got it. You can't do it. You learned well. I had to teach you that for the last 40 years. You can't do it." But look at verse 12. "But certainly I will be" what? "With you." See it? I think it was D.L. Moody that said Moses spent 40 years in Egypt thinking he was somebody. 40 years in the wilderness finding out he is nobody. And then the last 40 years of his life, he found out what God can do with somebody that finds out they're nobody, that trusts in the Lord, that has the presence of the Lord. You know, God didn't say, "Oh, who am I?" "Right, Moses, you know what? You need to take a little class on self-esteem. You know, poor Yenia, or self-assertiveness. You need to, you know, have one of these classes." You can't do it. You can't do the work of the Lord. What did the Apostle Paul say? "Who's adequate for these things? Who can serve God effectively in their own flesh? Who am I?" "Not much." But God says, "I will be with you." And doesn't he say that to us? In the New Testament, he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you." But Lord, who am I? "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, that's to his question, who am I? Not much. But if you have the presence of the Lord, I tell you, it guarantees success of the mission. And the second question, what if they ask me theological questions I can't answer? Who are you, God? What is your name? You know, Descartes, the philosopher, remember what he said? I think, therefore I am. You know what God says? I am that I am. Tell him, I am sent you. That's a simple statement. That is a, I am that I am. Simple statement. And yet, that is a profound statement. I think it was Dr. Pentecost that said, in that form of the verb to be, there is every tense. I was, I am, and I always will be God. He is the unchanging, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniwise God. Tell him I am sent you. Remember what Jesus said in the New Testament? He said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. And he said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. You're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am, said Jesus. Just tell him I am sent you. So you know what? When we go out, we may not be able to answer all the questions. Just tell him I am sent you. And then he says down here, what if they don't believe me? Now that's a question of unbelief. But God in his graciousness says, okay, Moses, what's that in your hand? It's a staff. Throw it down, Moses. I love this. I love this. He throws it down and it becomes a serpent. And what does Moses do? Whoa! He books! He did the same thing I do. Man, if that thing became a serpent, I'd be booking. I'll tell you, we'd have a couple more doors in this building if that happened to me. But throw it down. Okay, Moses, go over and pick it up. What? Okay. And can you see him? I can just see him. You know, yeah. And he picks it up and it becomes a staff again. Put your hand in your bosom, Moses. Puts it in his bosom. Bring it out, Moses. It's leprous. Put it back in, Moses. Oh, it's restored again. Take some water, pour it on the ground. Oh, it became blood. Lord, what if they don't believe? I'll validate my ministry. Don't you worry about the response. You just go and do what I tell you to do. Doesn't God tell us that today?
Amen.
Don't worry about the response. You know what? I can't make people respond. I can't make people come up to this altar and make a commitment to missions or to accept Jesus Christ. I can't do it. Don't worry about that. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's what he tells him. With that, he answers his questions. But then his excuses. God's response to his excuses. He says, Lord, I'm not gifted. I can't speak well. Look at verse 4:11. Who made your mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I who made man's strengths, weaknesses, and handicaps? Who does that? God says, I do. I do. You know what? Every strength that you have in your life comes from the Lord. Listen to this. Every weakness you have comes from God. Because you know why? You know what God wants to do with us? He wants to take our weaknesses and fill them with His strength and then use us to do His mission. Because why does He love? He loves to do that. You know why He loves to do that? Because then, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. I'll elaborate on this later, but you know what? I used to be deathly afraid to be in front of people. Public speaking, I'd rather have death, you know? Give me death, public speaking. Reading, I couldn't read. But God loves to take weak, handicapped people, fill them with His power, and use them for the glory of God. So He says to Moses, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made your weaknesses? And then He says in verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. And Moses says, but God, somebody else could do it better. Somebody else could do it better. You know what God's response to that is? Do you see it there? In chapter 4 and verse 14, what's His response? He got angry. Like you're telling me something, Moses. I know there's other people that could do it better. But I'm not choosing other people. I'm choosing you. I know Aaron speaks better than you do. But I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And I think there are things that, you know what? I just believe this. You might disagree with this. But I think there are things that God is calling each of us to do that only you can do. Only you. I mean, somebody else, yeah, somebody else could do it better. Maybe, yeah, maybe they could. But He's saying, I want you to do it. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth. You're right. Your brother Aaron could do it better. I know he speaks fluently, but Moses, I'm calling you. You see, and let me just say this, and I'm going to end here. God's call is God's enablement. God doesn't look for qualified people. He looks for people that are available and people that will allow Him to equip them. He will equip them, and then He uses us in ministry. So today, do you hear Him? Who shall we send? Who will go for us? Do you hear Him calling your name? Will you say to Him this morning, Lord, I'm not much, but if you can use me, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, we just bow before You, and Lord, I don't know how You can use weak people like us, like me. But Lord, I'm thankful that You have allowed us to be a part of Your work down here on earth. And Lord, please speak to our hearts and help us to be busy. Help us to be available, Lord. Give us a fresh encounter with you. And help us to obey your call. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.